looking back over our lives, all of us can look back on really significant days. Maybe your first day at school stands out in your memory, either primary school or big school, and it was such a momentous occasion, it's just burned into your memory. Or maybe the day you met the person you ended up marrying, or the day you got married, if you are married today, that again is something that's just burned into you. Or maybe some big promotion came along at work, out of the blue perhaps, and you got promoted and you remember that and the conversation you had with your boss who came to talk to you about it. Or maybe it was the day a child was born in the family, or maybe a day whenever someone died. And again, that's burned into your memory, just how significant and how important that was. And today as we come to Genesis chapter 12, we come to a really hugely significant day, not just in the life of Abraham, but in the life of everyone who understands the faith that Abraham has, because Abraham here is a prototype of what real faith looks like. Because not everybody who says they've got faith has faith. Most of the world actually probably would say they believe in God or they've got faith in God. But here is true faith revealed to us through this man Abraham, or Abram as he is at this stage in his life. And I want to look at this passage of scripture with you today, and I want to show you three ways in which his faith is unfolded to us that we might understand why he is called the father of the faithful. The father of the faithful. If you want to understand what true faith looks like, then look to Abraham, your father. It's what he's called in Romans chapter 4 and verse 16. So let me look at this today. There's a lot of misconceptions about faith that are on the go. People will say, especially atheists will say to us, oh, faith's just a leap into the dark. No, it's not. Absolutely not. Faith is a leap into the light. As the light of God comes to you, you respond to that light. It's definitely not a leap into the dark. So let me say, first of all, today, as we think about the father of the faithful, this man, Abram, in Genesis chapter 12, we see that faith comes through hearing the word of God, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. Now how exactly Abram heard this word, we're not told. Hebrews 1 says, long ago at many times and in various ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. God spoke to Moses, we're told in Exodus, face to face, as a man speaks with his friend. And Job says, God speaks in one way and then in two. Though man does not perceive it, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when sleep falls on a man while they slumber on their beds, then he opens the ears of man that he may turn him aside from his deeds. God speaks in different ways. So the voice of God here, we're not told how it happens, but we are just told that it happens, and that's the important thing. It's active in this man's life, and it's speaking into his life. And the word of God is saying, go from your country, your kindred, your father's house, to a land that I will show you. How challenging that must have been to this man, Abram. Think if you were told to leave your country, leave your culture, leave your kith and kin, and just go. Just go to a place that I will show you. And you say to the Lord, where do you want me to go, Lord? And the Lord says, just go. Pack your car and just go. Start driving. You'd want to know where. Where am I going? Don't you worry about the where. Just you start driving. That's the sense here of God speaking to this man, Abram. And God's authority is, go. Just as Jesus said to the disciples at the end of Matthew's gospel, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go. Where do you want us to go, Lord? It doesn't matter. Just go. Go and do it. And that's God here speaking to Abram and just saying to him, go. There's a sense here too that this command was a command that had already been given to Abram, and maybe he had fallen short of the command when it had first come to him. The Hebrew in verse 1 can be translated, the Lord had said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to a land that I will show you. That God had said it already and that Abram had come up short. As if Abram maybe hadn't been listening. Or if he had been listening, he had stopped listening. And he needed to get back onto the bike again, as it were. If you think of a train running down a track, it runs down a track and for whatever reason it becomes derailed. The engineers have to come along and the engineers have to put the train back up onto the rails again if it is going to run. And so Abram, it seems, had gone so far and then he'd gone off the rails. He had stopped short in Haran, it seems, in chapter 11, verse 31. It says in chapter 11, verse 31, that they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldees, but when they came to Haran, they settled there. Maybe Haran was a nice place to live. Maybe it was a very rich place, or maybe it was a very beautiful place, or maybe it was a place the food was good, and they thought, we'll just stop here, and we'll follow God thus far and no further. But God sends Abram a reminder. You know, if you don't respond to an email, you'll get a message on your phone automatically. You haven't responded. It's 2 days now. It's 3 days now. It's 4 days now. It's 5 days now. You haven't responded to my emails. And it's like God sends another email, as it were, to Abram and says, Abram, get out of Haran and just go again. Go. Don't fall short. Don't be like a horse that runs up to the jump and when it gets to the jump, it refuses. Don't be a refusing horse. Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. God had said that. Abraham had stopped. Abraham, start again. Get on the move. This is your word that's coming to you from me, Abraham. True faith comes through hearing the word of God. But it's more than just hearing, because secondly, true faith believes the promises of God. And God makes some extraordinary promises here to this man, Abram. In verses 2 and 3, God says to him, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. The experts in the text here tell us there are seven I wills, where God says to Abram, I will, 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 Abram. In other words, it's not about you, Abram. It's about what I will do in your life, Abram. This is the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you. And Abraham may have said to himself, well, how is this all going to happen? I'm being sent out to live like a nomad in tents. But God says, I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing to the nations. You see the point? It wasn't about Abraham. It was about Abraham's faith, trusting God to do it. How many people, when they hear the call of the kingdom to give their lives to Christ, they say, I couldn't keep it up. I couldn't go home to my family and tell them that I'd surrendered my life to Christ. I just couldn't do that. God says, I will do it. Trust me. Let me look after the consequences. Let me be in charge of your life. Trust me. Abram was a nobody from Ur of the Chaldeans. In Ur of the Chaldeans, they worshipped the moon and the sun and the stars and dozens of other gods. But his family had left that city as God had sent him out. And probably wherever they went, you know what they were famous for? For being blow-ins. Oh, that's your man. He moved from Ur of the Chaldees. He doesn't know where he's going. but he knows he's following some sort of a call, really, and you can hear them laughing. In Haran and in other places in Mesopotamia. But Abraham knew that God had spoken, and Abraham knew that he was believing God's word. Because if God had spoken, it must be true. If God had spoken, it must be trustworthy. If God had spoken, if God's word has said it, then you must do it. You've no other choice. So Abraham went, and we are told in verse 3 how God says, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Abraham's in a very unique position here. And it must have staggered him when God said, in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. He must have thought, how could that be possible? And there's a strong hint in this verse. James Montgomery Boyce in his commentary says, this is the second messianic prophecy in the book of Genesis. The first one is in Genesis 3, but here's the second messianic prophecy. Because the only way all the families of the earth could be blessed was that if someone coming from Abram's seed was able to affect all the world. And that's why one of the genealogies of Jesus in the Bible goes back to Abram and starts with Abram. And what God was promising, that through this man, all the families of the earth would be blessed. Because from his line would come the Messiah, the anointed one, God's Savior. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, says the apostle, the amen is spoken to the glory of God. You see, in the Old Testament, God promised a king. Jesus was the new David. In the Old Testament, God promised a prophet. Jesus was the new Moses. And in the Old Testament, God promised a priest. Jesus was the new Melchizedek. The Old Testament is promise. The New Testament is fulfillment. Someone has put it like this: to read the Old Testament without reference to Christ is like reading a mystery novel with the final chapter torn out. Imagine reading a novel and getting carried along by the story, and you're getting to the end and you think so-and-so did it or somebody else, and you're not sure which of them is it going to be who actually committed the crime. And when you get to the last chapter, you've been careful not to read the last chapter because you don't want to know what's coming. Someone's ripped it out. You'd be gutted. You need it all to understand the whole story. And that's why when Jesus was on the Emmaus Road and the disciples were downhearted, he began with Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, and he explained to them all things concerning himself. Because the Old Testament is all promise. The New Testament is fulfillment in Jesus Christ. And no matter how many promises are made, they are yes in Christ. And Abraham, under our second heading today, Abraham is the man who is understanding this, and Abraham is the one who is believing the promises of God. I'm not sure why number two hasn't come up yet. I'm looking at the sound desk. They're asleep. Waking up, guys. Number three. We're at number three. True faith acts on the basis of God's word. It doesn't just hear, it doesn't just believe, but it acts. And that's in verses 4 and 5. So Abram went as the Lord had told him. Now notice that. Abram went as the Lord had told him. He went. And Lot went with him. His nephew Lot went with him. He was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. And when they came there, they passed through the land to the place of Shechem. Now notice what age the man was. 75 years of age. At 75, most people have settled down. They've got their slippers on. They've got the fire lit. They've got their newspaper and they're watching Tipping Point. That's 75 years of age, isn't it? For most people, that's the way it is. But God. And that's the point here about Abram's life. He's 75, but God had said. God had given a command, and when God speaks, the man of faith obeys. And out of a sense of commitment to the Lord, Hebrews 11 says he went out not knowing where he was going. But still he went by faith. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. He was not earth-focused, he was heaven-focused. And that meant he acted now because he believed the best was yet to be. And this world is not your home, but heaven is the home. And no sacrifice is too great in this life to make for him who gave his all for me. So Abram went, as the Lord had said. I remember when I was a student, back in the 1990s, there was a lady who came to speak at our Christian Union pretty much every year. Her name was Dorothy Traherne, and I'm assuming Dorothy now is with the Lord. She was an older lady then. But Dorothy, in retirement, had prayed for God to give her something more she could do for him. I think she had been a nurse or a civil servant. I can't remember. I have one of her prayer letters still. But in retirement, retiring from her job, she prayed that God would give her something more to do. And Dorothy became a Bible smuggler to the countries that are closed to the gospel in the Far East, as you do when you're retired. She was the sweetest little old lady. And she used to go to these border posts with these kind of, you know, the way they are, official guards with their guns and their uniforms. And she played the sweet little old lady card. But in her Bible, in her suitcase, were bundles of Bibles. And Dorothy, on the outside, was this little sweet lady, but on the inside, she had a rock-solid faith. And she was prepared to take the consequences should those Bibles have been discovered. She didn't want her retirement to be just about doing nothing. She wanted her retirement to count for God. And only eternity will reveal what that lady's faith did in terms of building the kingdom of God in those Far East countries like China and other places. Because as the book of James says, as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Could I ask you today, if you claim to have faith, have you got acts to back up your faith? Or is it just talk? Or is just a wee fuzzy feeling in your heart that you have belief in God? I'm not saying, are you a Bible smuggler to wherever? If you were, that would be lovely. But I'm asking, are there acts to back up the claim that you have faith? Is there repentance of sin? Are you keeping short accounts with God? Is there a holy God-honoring life that stands apart from the corruption and uncleanliness of this world in which we are living? Are you redeeming the time or wasting your time? Are you bringing your family along with you, as Abram brought his family along with him and his servants? He just brought them all. In And are you worshiping? Verse 8. He built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Getting down before God, the 75-year-old man, lifting up his heart to God. Verse 8 says, calling on the name of the Lord. This was no charade for Abram. He wasn't going through the motions. This was a man who was trusting, a man who the Lord was his strength and his song and his salvation. He had drawn water from the wells of salvation. And he was drinking deeply, even as an old man. So let me end today by asking the question whether we have true faith or not. You know, in an expensive piece of jewelry, there's a hallmark, and the hallmark is there to show it, it's genuine, that it's not fool's gold. If there's a hallmark, then it's the genuine article. Otherwise, it may be just a cheap imitation. Abram's faith is hallmark faith. It's hallmark faith. It's prototype faith. This is the genuine article God is. This is why Abram is here, to show you and me what genuine faith looks like. It doesn't just hear God's word, it believes God's word, and it acts on the basis of God's word. No wonder he's called the friend of God. And God invites us to be his friends. What a privilege, but it's on the basis of faith, not on the basis of works. You can't work your way to God. True faith abandons works and simply trusts God's word. A bit like if you receive a wedding invitation. If you receive a wedding invitation, you have to accept it or reject it. If you don't accept it, but you turn up at the wedding anyway, it's going to be a bit embarrassing at the reception when there's no seat for you at the table or at the church and the usher's going through the list and saying, I don't see your name on the list. It's going to be embarrassing, isn't it? You have to accept it. Abram accepted the grace of God as it was held out to him. Go. Believe me. Take me at my word. The promise is for you and for your children after you and for every generation across all the world, because the Messiah is going to come through you, Abram. Trust me, Abram, to do it. Trust me to look after the consequences. It's a bit like getting into a boat on a river. You go down there to the ban and you get into a rowing boat and the river will just carry you along. You just have to go with the river. And you trust the Lord, you just have to go with wherever the Lord wants you to go. You just let him carry you. That's faith. You trust him. And if you've never accepted him as your Lord and Savior, then do it today. Or maybe get back onto the bike again, as I said earlier. And launch out into the plans of God, and who knows what God will do with you, where he will take you, how he will use you. Or are you just going to stay in Haran or in Ur of the Chaldees with everybody else, putting in your time in front of the TV with the false gods of this world, living for yourself, or are you going to live for the Lord? Because that's the challenge that, you know, it's no bigger a challenge for you and me as it is for Abram in his day and age. True faith comes through hearing. You've heard the word today. True faith believes the promises of God. Have you believed the promises today? And are you ready to act on the basis of the word of God? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for Abram's example, for his prototype faith, how he is a hallmarked believer. And we thank you that he is the father of the faithful, the friend of God, and how he encourages us, how he invites us to follow in his footsteps and not to be caught up with the world, but to leave the world and to be a pilgrim, traveling through it, searching and following after you. Father, we thank you for his example and his encouragement. We thank you for this man of God. Help us, Father, not to miss the boat, Help us, we pray, Father, to respond as you would have us respond, in Jesus' name.